So what series are we teaching right now? What series are we teaching right now? Everybody say, let God be true. Everybody say this, let God be true and every man a liar. Okay. And in order to do that, you've got to exalt the word of God. We looked at it a couple weeks ago. We looked at the exaltation of Genesis. You know what? Chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And there's a lot of pushback on that. But this one, how many know this one's an easy one? And let me tell you why it's easy. Because the Darwinism, the evolution is so unscientific. It is so much easier to believe in a God that created everything than to believe that out of nothing, everything was created. I mean, that's a hard thing to believe. But the Bible says that in their wisdom, they will become but fools. This is absolutely foolishness. And so we talked about that. We talked about the fossil records. The fossil records, here's what the fossil records show. Here's what the fossil records show. That there's no life, then there's complex life. And here's the funny thing about fossil records. It's because, you know what science is? Science is observable. Everybody say observable. See, you've been taught that Darwinism is scientific. No. Let me teach you the truth. Darwinism is unscientific. The fossil record proves scientifically that the word of God is true. In the beginning, God created. You have, in the fossil records, all you see is no simple life forms at all. And then all of a sudden, as soon as you see the fossil records, it's complex life form. Duplicatable. How many know science is duplicatable? What does that mean? It means the same fossil records that they find in one place, they find in the other place. They find it in the other place. So when they look at the fossil records in Canada, they see no simple life form, no simple life form, complex life form. Then they dig deeper and they can't find the simple life form. Same thing they find in Asia. Same thing they find in China. Same thing they find all over as they're digging the fossil records. Why? Because in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. How many know this one's an easy one? Let God be true and every man a liar. This is an easy, easy one. And you say, well, and Darwin himself said, if we can't find, here's what he said. You can look it up yourself. It's in his book. The Origin of Man. In his book, he said, if we do not find, you know what, in the fossil record, this simple, less simple, more complex, that's how it should be. If we don't find that, that creates a big problem. He said, I can't. And then when he was confronted, because they had already found a bunch of the fossils that were complex, when he was confronted about it, here's what he said. I have no way to explain this. How scientific do you think that was? And when he was pressed on it, see, how many know you're not going to learn this at high school biology class? But you're going to learn this at Hope Community Church. When he was pressed on it, you know what he said? Here's what he came up with. He said, well, it's kind of like if you have a book and you lost some pages in the book or a chapter in the book. Wow. How many know that is hardly scientific? You ever tell your teacher you lost your homework? Exactly. I'm thinking, why didn't he just say, hey, my dog ate it? Right? Why didn't he say that? Well, my dog ate it. My dog ate all the fossil records. Why wouldn't he say that? Because that'd be so ridiculous. Well, I'm sorry. We can't find it. It's equally ridiculous. But here's the main part. It's so unscientific. How many know that was the easy one? I want to talk to you today about simply believing God past your circumstance. Past your circumstance. See, let God be true and every man a liar. Believing God past your circumstance. I want to talk to you today, and my sermon title is this: The Lord is on your side. The Lord is on your side. See, and here's the thing. Many times in the course of time, we in the back of our minds are because of life, we start to forget the truth that God is on our side. And God is for you. He's not against you. In the course of time. Holy Spirit already preached this sermon. He preached it this morning. You know what I mean? I know my God is for me. I know my God is for me. What, how does the rest go? I know he'll never forsake me in my weaknesses. Oh, yes, we're singing hallelujah. But I'm just asking, in the back of your mind, going to the front of your mind, are you believing for something and you haven't seen it manifest? And because you haven't seen it manifest, you start to question, you know what? Is God really for you? Let me tell you what, this is so jugular to who we are as Christians. Who can think, put your spiritual caps on, who can think, who did this in the Bible? I'll give you a hint. You got to go way far back. Who did this in the Bible? Wow. A lot of people did it. Go farther back. Farther back than Abraham. Who started questioning the goodness of God? Cain. We're not far back enough. How many know we can't go farther back than Eve, right? Eve did it. Eve did it. Eve started questioning that, because here's what happens. When you see things, and you know what? And they're not manifesting, and you're believing something, and God has spoken to you, or you're seeing the word, and it's not happening, it's not happening, it's not happening. And then next thing you know, Satan comes in and he says, see? Let me tell you about God. Let me tell you about God. Do you have a misunderstanding about God? He'll tell you. You know what? He's really not for you. You know, he's really got a different agenda. Can I tell you this morning? God is for you. It's so jugular that you understand this. It's so jugular that you lean not into your own understanding. It's so jugular, it's so critical that you walk by faith and not by sight. It's so critical, because what Satan wants to do is he wants to get you, you know what, against God. I like I like what President Lincoln said. I got his first name and I was like, okay. President Abraham, who's that? Okay. I like what President Lincoln said. He said, the question isn't, we're asking the wrong question. The question isn't, is God for us? Or is God with us? The question is, are we with God? So, Let's look at what he said. Let's look at what God said first. Psalms 18 or 118 verse 17 up here on the screen. Psalms 118 verse 17. Look what it says. I shall not die but live. I declare the works of the Lord. See, what's God's will for you? Not to die but to live. I don't want you to raise your hands. But you know what? there's been people in this room who have been told, they start to feel sick, they start to feel sluggish, and they're like, oh man, you're going to die early. You're just, you know what, you're just going to be like your grandfather died at, you know what, 52, and you're going to be like him. Hello? How many know sickness and disease can shout to you the wrong things? Can shout to you the wrong things. See, no, that's not what God says. Here's what God says. You shall not die, but live. That's what God is speaking over you. What does Romans 8 say? Romans 8 says this. This is so good. Starting with chapter 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God is for you. He's saying that facetiously, thinking that we all understand that God's for us. He's trying to convince us that your enemy isn't so bad. So he takes this statement, but watch what he goes on to say, because this is so powerful. How many know sometimes we know powerful scriptures, but we don't know what's above those scriptures? And we don't know what's below those scriptures. Sometimes if you put... You know what? How many know a nice, juicy burger? I'm just talking about a hamburger patty can taste really good. Amen? But how many know Tommy's put some good stuff on top of it? And they put some good stuff below it. Amen? Come on. I'm trying to relate to somebody. God does the same thing, but way better. Amen? Watch what comes after this. He did not spare his own son. Oh my goodness. See, this is so jugular to your life that you would stop vacillating, stop thinking, make up your mind today. God is for me. God is for health. God is for good relationships in my life. God wants my life to be good. Amen to that. Yeah, but what about the apostles? What about the apostles? What about the apostles? You look at their life, man. They had an awesome life. Can you imagine ministering? Here's what Jesus says. He says, guys, let me tell you what I'm going to do. Before Jesus knew them, all they were was fishermen. How many know fishing is fun? How many fishermen they got, okay? And how many know when you cast that line, man, and when that thing bites, and you're like, man, I caught a fish. How many know that's a cool feeling? It's awesome. Can I tell you what? That's nothing compared to seeing somebody say, you know what? I've lived my life on my own for too long. I've ruined my life or seemed to ruin my life. I'm going to give my life to Jesus, and he's going to restore my life. That is fun. And that's what God does. Jesus comes and says, guys, let me tell you what. I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to really make your life. And then you talk about the apostles. Then the apostles walked in the supernatural. Was able to see Jesus walk in the supernatural. When Jesus left, then they walked in the supernatural. Yeah, but all of them died. We think so crazy dumb sometimes. Everybody dies. Yeah, but they died. I know they died. But they died in incredible testimony to who God is and what he could do in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. You think any of them died miserable? You know how many people can live, watch this. You know how many people can live to 93 and they, you know, oh, praise God, they lived to 93. No, they were, yeah, they lived to 93, but they were miserable. See, God, what about the apostles? What about the apostles? All the apostles are proof of on how awesome God is. And so, The writer of Romans is like, guys, God is for you. Here, let me prove it. He didn't even spare his own son. I don't know. Stop vacillating. Stop thinking in the back of your mind. Like your neighbor say, don't be an Eve. What did Eve think? Eve thought in the back of her mind, she thought, God is trying to keep something from me. That's why that's what the argument was, right? You're going to eat this, because let me tell you about God. God is really not who he says he is. Satan is a liar, and he's lying to you the same way. And the very thing that you're believing for, you're about to get off. You're about to stop believing for. You're about to accept man's word on it. No, this is chronicle. No, your grandparents had this disease. You know what? No. I look at the x-ray. This is all proof. No. Look at your marriage. You know what? You married the wrong guy. You married the wrong lady. You married the wrong, you know what? Whatever, he all comes up with this crazy stuff. You know what I mean? No, you got freckles. That's your problem. You know what I mean? Right? When everybody knows people with freckles are jacked up, right? Right? No. Yeah, somebody say no, amen. I'm being facetious. No way, man. God is on your side. God likes your freckles, amen. God is on your side. He didn't even spare his own son for you. Stop. That's what the writer of the New Testament is trying to do. He's trying to get you stop thinking wrongly. Stop thinking God is stop in the back of your mind thinking God's against you. God isn't against you. God is for you. He didn't even spare his own son, but delivered him up for who? For you. Deliver him up. Are you kidding me? God is so on your side. How shall he not? Watch it. If he did that, how shall he not with him also? Somebody say also. Also. Let's say also 5 times. Also, 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 also. Also. Can I love somebody for a minute? Can I love somebody for a minute? Can I love somebody for a minute? Okay, but I'm gonna love you and step on your toe right now. Can I still love you? Okay, I just gotta teach. I'm a teacher. I gotta teach. So I gotta teach you. Okay. Dude, you say also 5 times, because I ain't saying also 5. Dude, I'm not even going to say also 1 time. Because that's just how I roll. And dude, and I didn't say anything that he said last week, and I'm not going to say anything that he says next week. Because that's just how. I just got to teach you. Guys, I love you. Can I tell you why I'm telling you? Don't. Listen, you can do whatever you want. I'm still going to love you. Just because you didn't say also, you can still go out and get some Panera Bread. Right? Right? I love y'all. But here's what I'm saying. Here's why I want you. Just learn. Here's why it's important that you do that. Because there's concepts that are so ingrained in your thinking. And here's what I know. One of the things that will break those concepts more than anything else is not me telling you, but you saying it with your mouth. I'm just teaching you. I just want you to know, why would you always do that? I don't roll that way. Listen, I'm just, let me help you, okay? That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I'll be listening to somebody on the TV and they'll say, say also 5 times. I'm on there on the TV. So what do? I say, also, 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 also. And my dogs are looking at me like, you're crazy, man. He don't even hear you. It ain't for him. It's for me. Okay, that's a side note, but I'm just telling you. And you know what? And just learn to move outside of what you're used to. You know what that's called? Growth. That's how you grow. Okay, can I move on?
Yeah.
Okay, let's try it again. Also, five times. Also. Now, what am I talking about also? Here's what I'm saying. It's not just that you're going to heaven. It's not just that he saved you. He's also willing to do other stuff for you. Listen, if I'm going someplace to eat, if they say, you can only have one thing and one thing only, okay, fine. Then I'll either take the apple pie or the steak. I'm a sucker for desserts. But here's all I'm saying. If I got one choice, I'm probably going to take the steak. If we have one choice, yes, let's take Jesus. But can I tell you what? Let's take salvation, or what we consider the new birth. Absolutely. I'm just pointing out, it's not just this. How shall he, it's the point. He's already given his son. If he didn't withhold his son, then how shall he not with him also freely give us? You know, can I do it? See, but here's the problem. It's a huge problem. And it's Satan's plan. He's going to try to get you to defeat it by getting you to give up, getting you discouraged. And how is he going to do that? He's going to show you, well, I don't, you know what? Your son hasn't changed. You know, your daughter hasn't changed. You know what? You're still, you know, limping. You know what I mean? I mean, you're still, look at, you know what? You still, whatever the still is. Stop thinking that way. Stop thinking. Stop limiting God. Stop putting a time watch on God. Right? No. Don't go there. You just keep on believing God. I said, you just keep on believing God. Just keep on believing God. Yeah, but I haven't seen it yet. Well, yeah, but you don't walk by sight anyway. Right? Next verse, watch this. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who talking about you? That's what he's saying. Who talking about you? God. He's the one who justifies. God, listen. Those people around you that are telling you what you are, bring them over to my house. I want to talk to them for a minute. I'm just joking. Kinda. Okay? But here's what I'm saying. Here's what the writer is saying. Guys, get this. They ain't in charge. They're not in charge. Stop allowing their words to dictate who you are. God is the one who's going to tell you who you are. He's the one who, it is God who justifies. Next verse. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. Why are they condemning you? Christ died. You got born again. In your eyes, you are perfect to God. Somebody wants to talk to you about your haircut. Or your height. You know what? Or your education. Or your whatever they come up with. You know what? It's ridiculous. They're not, you know what? Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, he has risen, who is even at the right hand of God. Watch this. Who also makes intercession for you. Are you kidding me? You're thinking, watch. You're thinking because the circumstance in your life hasn't changed as quickly as you thought it was going to change. And so you start to get crosswise with God. You start to think God is against you. You think God isn't going to bless you in areas in your life. No. The writer is giving the strong argument to say, are you kidding me? This morning, Jesus was praying for you. You think he's not on your side? He is on your side. He's been on your side for a long time. First point, write this down. If you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, write this down. If the enemy cannot take you out, he's going to try to wear you out. If the enemy could take you out, he would have taken you out about 30 seconds before you accepted Jesus Christ. How many know he can't take you out? All he can do is, that's why, and I showed this to you before, that's why the Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Notice the order. He can't kill you. The only way he can kill you is by stealing from you your vision. He starts to discourage you, and eventually, you know what, then he can take you out. So here's his plan. He tries to do it in this long discouragement, you know what, and you can't allow that to happen. Let God be true. God is on your side. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. You know this verse. Look what it says. Let us not grow weary in doing good. What does that mean? Understand, when God tells you to do something, it's indication that you can do the opposite. How many know we all have choices? So when God says, let us not grow weary, what does that mean? It means that we can grow weary. That's why he's telling us not to grow weary, because we can grow weary while doing good. You're doing good, you're doing good, you're doing good. Look, notice what he says. He doesn't say, don't grow weary by doing evil. See, you know what he's talking to? He's talking to about people who are his, who belong to him, who are doing the right thing and doing the right thing and doing the right thing, and they're believing and trusting. Can I tell you what the right thing is always? Is to trust in the Lord. So we're doing the right thing, doing the right thing, doing the right thing, and you've been doing the right thing. You've been sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing. And then Satan comes up with this lie and says, see, all your efforts don't really make any difference. See, you're going to grow weary in doing what? And you're going to stop. And let me tell you why it's possible that we stop. Here's why. Because we start to, here's another passage says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. See, how do we get deceived? We get deceived because we sow, we sow, we sow, we sow, we sow, and nothing happens. How many of you, when you were in kindergarten, you got the milk cart and you did the plant thing with the bean plant? Raise your hand if you did the bean plant, okay? Okay. Raise your hand if you're like me and you planted it on Monday and on Tuesday you were bummed because you didn't see anything. You know, watch it. Like, this teacher don't know what she's talking about. You know what I mean? You know, she's so crazy. She thinks, you know what? And I, watch this. And here's what you do. And I'm mocking you, but I'm mocking all of us. And you go, see, it didn't happen. She don't know what she's talking about. And we do the same thing with God. We put him on a stopwatch. You know what? We give him an amount of time. And so what we do is we stop. We stop because we grow weary doing good. You're doing good, but you stop because you think, no, this is, I'm not going to get any benefit out of it. You are deceived. Don't be deceived. Keep on reaping. Keep on reaping. Keep on reaping. Keep on sowing. I'm sorry. Keep on sowing. Keep on sowing. Keep on sowing. Keep on sowing. Keep on casting your bread upon the water. And at some point in time, you got so much bread out in the water, it starts to come back to you in waves. Amen? And how many know if you plant a tree, if you plant a seed, you don't get, you know what? So you plant an apple seed. How many know when that thing comes to fruition, you don't got bing? Well, I planted one apple seed, and I'm going to take my apple. How many know you didn't get one apple? I don't know who planted it. I thank God that they planted it. Because when I want a lemon, I just go outside my backyard, and I go to my lemon tree, and I just pick one of, gosh, right now probably, I probably got over 100 lemons on that tree. Oh, they're good lemons. How many know those organic lemons are expensive at the grocery store? I don't pay nothing for my organic lemons. I don't pay nothing for my organic oranges. Amen. I don't pay nothing for my organic peaches. Amen. How many know all they did was plant one lemon tree, one peach seed, and one orange seed. That's all they did. But what happens is I cut down my avocado tree. Why'd you cut it down? Because I got mad at the squirrels. I get all happy because I love my wife. Let me tell you what. My wife makes the best avocado. What do you call that? Baked guacamole in the world. I mean, my wife spoiled me. You know what I mean? Because now I like go to a restaurant, good guacamole. And I'm like, eh. You know, I like my wife. Anyway, here's my point. I got so mad at those squirrels because I'd see my avocado tree in like my orange tree. Isn't like my lemon tree. You know what I mean? I mean, boom! I was all excited when I got 8 avocados. I'm like, yes, it's starting to mature. That's, you know, I'm having, you know, and then these squirrels come by and ate it all. Come on, you eat my avocados, I'm chopping this tree down. Actually, that's part of it. Isaac's dad, who knows a lot about growing stuff, he told me the avocado roots of avocado tree can really, they go all over. It can really cause a big mess. I was like, okay, well, I ain't getting anything out of this. I'm cutting it down. But that's what we do. We don't see anything right away. We think it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. No, the Bible tells you, warns you, don't grow weary. Because, yes, you don't see it, you don't see it, you don't see it, you don't see it. But if you will not grow weary, watch this. For in due season, everybody say due season. In due season, we shall reap. Not might, not kind of, not I don't know. You know what? If you're at some economic thing or some, you know, there's no. This is the only requirement of shall reap is if you don't grow weary. How many know you got to sow seed to get a harvest? If we do not lose heart. See, the key is not losing heart. Why do you lose heart? Why do you give up? Why do you finally come to the conclusion that God isn't for you? And then you're going to stop. And then it's so ironic. Because you're going to get a divorce. Because you know what? You've had it. You've had enough. This crazy spouse you married. What were you thinking? You've had it. No, you didn't have it. You know what? I mean, you know, you could ask your other spouse. They've had it too. You think they're crazy. They think you're crazy. Right? See, someone. Y'all say right together and we'll be safe. We know this. But you get weary. You think, you know, I've had it. You're going to stop and you're going to lose. And you know what? Here's the thing. You know what? And you think, man, I married the wrong person. You know what? I'm just going to, you know what? I should have married, what's her name? You know what I mean? Well, what? You know why you think you should have married what's her name or what's his name? You know why? You know what Jimmy Evans says? Jimmy Evans says, the grass looks greener on the other side because you can't see the poop on your side. Come on, somebody. I mean, oh, this is true. Right? Okay. So here's the point. Don't lose heart. Don't start to think that God isn't for you. You can't do that. Guys in the back, you need to flow with me here. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now, thanks be to God who sometimes leads us to triumph. Oh, did I read it wrong? Oh, somebody say always. You're going there. I say always five times. Ready? Everybody go. Always, 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 always. You know what that means? It means always, guys. See, don't grow weary doing good. Don't be deceived. Don't get because you haven't seen the ramifications, you know what, right in front of you. Don't stop. Don't think that that means that God's not going to do what you know he's promised to do in this word of God. Let God be true in every man's life. Don't let your circumstance convince you that you're not going to sow seed anymore. Does this make sense? I thank be to God who always leads us up to triumph, always leads us up in triumph in Christ. You know what that, you know what one version says, or what that's really talking about? It really gives this depiction of us in this parade of victory that God is leading, but you're right there with him. And through us, this is last week's sermon, and through us diffuses a fragrance of his knowledge in every place. What you smell like? You smell like Jesus is how you smell like. That's what he's saying. Amen. I mean, God is so good. He's such a good communicator. Number two, are you learning something today? Somebody glad they came today. Say, God is for me. Listen, he's for you, even though sometimes it doesn't look like he's for you. Don't give up. Don't stop. If you don't give up, you will harvest. What's the key? The key is don't give up. Because the Bible says, you will harvest if, everybody say if. Always up here, what does that mean? It means sometimes people don't harvest. They stop reaping and they don't harvest. And then they see, it's because, you know what? No. That's not true. David, in his biggest defeat, they go in, they take all the children, all the women, they come in and they take everything. And now David has everyone against him. You know what the Bible says? David, he stirs himself up in the Lord. See? Everybody's telling you, no, look, you know what? Just curse God and die, man. Why are you keeping a hold of this belief? God's gonna do something. I didn't do something. And you know what? Can't you see? And you got relatives, you got friends. You even got yourself saying, just give up, man. Just cut it loose. You know, when are you going to learn? You know what David does? He pulls himself up. He encourages himself in the Lord. He reminds himself that God, see, you've got to get in your head, God is for you. He's still for you. Don't let circumstances talk you out of this. What does he do? He goes in. See, if David just wilts, listen, you can join the crowd if you want. You can become a naysayer too. There are Christians. Listen, I don't know who I'm preaching to. There are Christians that you are, there are Christians today that are in their house asleep right now. And they used to serve God radically. They're all over this place. They're all over the city. They're all over. You know some of them. And you can become them. But if you will not grow weary, if you will not faint, if you will not stop, I'm promising you, God is on your side. He's for you. You will see what you're believing for come to fruition. I don't believe that. What? Okay. I don't agree with you. I'm not, you are not going to pull me down. Because I've got the word on it. I'm going to let God be true. And I'm going to let everybody else who comes against that, I'm going to say, oh, you know what? And I don't have to be negative. But I'm not going to listen. I can't afford to listen to you. I can't afford. There's naysayers. You cannot afford to listen to them. They'll talk you out of it. Be careful who you're listening to. Don't listen to all the people who, man, it'll never work. Hey, guys, go back to that passage. It'll never work. It'll never happen. You've been believing that for a long time. You've been believing that. Yes, I have. And I got my dancing shoes on because when it happens, I'm going to be ready to dance. And it's going to happen like David did. And he came back and he got everything that Satan took from him. Everything. Everything was restored. And it wasn't too long after his biggest defeat that he was anointed as king. Amen? You know how many, if you were David, would have you given up? Saul's after you, Saul's after you, Saul's after. See, we can give up if we want to. And when we give up, we got, listen, you got 88 reasons that you can point out that will be proofs that it wasn't going to happen. Well, listen, I'm smiling, right? Listen, Jackson, you're talking to the wrong guy. Because you ain't talking me out of my you ain't talking me out of my dreams. You're not talking me out of what God has called me to do. You're not talking me out of what God has promised me. I'm just not going to be talked out of what God has called me to do. And you've got to have that same resolution. Thank you. Number two. Weariness cannot automatically come in. You must open the door to it. You must open the door to it. Who is it? It's weariness. Get out. You ain't coming in. The Bible says, protect your heart with all diligence. Because here's why. Because out of the abundance of the heart, here's what the Bible says. It is the issues of life. You know, sometimes we read the New King James like, what does that mean? Here's what it means. It means the issues are the boundaries. Your callings, your promises. What God wants you to do on this earth. And if you let that weariness in, we all have opportunities. If you let it, you know what? And we, how do we let it in? We let it in by listening to our neighbors, by listening to our friends, by listening, by you know, sometimes just by reading the news. You know, oh, what does Facebook say? What do my friends say? Oh my goodness. You got to qualify. Here, I'll teach, here. Come this afternoon. I'll teach you how to build a plane that you can ride in. I'm going to teach it to you. And we're going to get some, I think we have some leftover pallets back there. And I got some rubber bands. And we're going to put you on the roof. I got some wheels. And dude, it works. How many know I'm not qualified to build a plane? See, sometimes we're listening to people and we're allowing that discouragement in. They're not qualified to run our life. They're not qualified to speak into our life. They're not qualified to tell us what we're to do and what we're not to do. Are you learning something? My last point is this. We need to fight back. Now, here's what we need to fight back with: the understanding of who God is. I'll get to that in a minute. But here's what I'm saying. At some point in time, you got to fight back. You don't understand what Satan's doing to you. Because let me tell Satan. Satan wants to take you out. And he wants to take you out by wearing you out. And at some point in time, you're going to finally give up. You're going to allow weariness to get in. Satan is going to convince you that what you're believing for ain't going to happen. And you're going to take the bait. And when you take the bait, you're going down. I'm telling you, you're going down. And you'll look back. And you'll look back and say, what in the world was I thinking? And he'll use the same bait. And he'll say, no, you tried. You tried. You tried in your marriage. You tried. You know what? You resisted that sickness. You resisted discouragement. All the excuses in the world. You have to fight back. How many Jesus was a gracious man. Walked in an incredible amount of humility. I believe, and I don't know, but I believe he was most of the time very soft-spoken. Gentle. I just believe that. But let me tell you what. We read in the Gospels when Peter starts saying, you don't have to go to the cross. He comes over in that car, trips him up. Boom! Got him on. Let me tell you what. Get behind me, Satan. Now, I don't know that all happened. I don't want to get crazy on this. But here's what I am saying. If you think that he said to Peter, you know what? Could you get behind me? Because I believe, and we'll watch the video when we get to heaven. But I believe he didn't do that, but I believe he was in his face. See, we need to understand. There's a time to fight. Amen. Remember when the prophet told the king to go down and take care of and just annihilate everyone. And in our self-righteousness, we judge God. In our self-righteousness, we judge God. And God said, no, I want you to wipe them off of the face of this earth. And so they go down, they do a little bit, but you know what? But there's some good-looking fat sheep. There's some good-looking goats. There's some livestock that, man, we don't want to wipe it all out. And they left the king. And the prophet goes back and says, "What? Why here all these animals? What's with the livestock?" And he says, oh no, that was we save that to sacrifice them. It's in that context that God says, I don't want your religious stuff. That's what he's talking about. You know what I want? I want you to be obedient to do what I tell you to do. And then you know what the prophet did? The prophet gets a sword out and takes care of kills the king. Hello? You know what the New King James says? The NIV is all, you know what? You know, it's all dignified. You know, oh, grape upon. You know, I like the New King James because the New King James took it word for word. You know what he did? You know what the author said he did? Here's what he did. I didn't slay him. That would be too kind. He chopped him in to pieces. That's what it says. See, can I tell you what? And here's my point. Satan is messing with your destiny. That's what your dream is. That's what you're ready to give up. That's you're ready to, you know what I mean? He's messing with who you are and what you're called to be. Listen, if you're married, you're not called to get a divorce. That's not God's will. Now, listen, if you've been divorced, you know what? I like to say, you know, because, hey, how many, you know, if I ask you, how many smoke dope? You know what I mean? Don't raise your hand. How many used to get drunk? You know what I mean? How many, you know what? Come on, man. We don't walk under condemnation. I'm not talking about this condemnation if somebody's been divorced. You know what I mean? If you're on number one, then that's the one. Amen. If you're on number two, two's for you. Amen. Right? If you're on number three, you know what? Whippy. You know what I mean? Right? If you're on number four, man, no more. Right? See, don't nobody say that I'm not anointed after that one. I'm just, but here's all I'm saying. Guys, there's no not condemnation. If you've been through a divorce, then you know what? I'm sure there's plenty of things that you learned. You know what? Pick something up while you're down. You know what I mean? Just learn from it, okay? There's no condemnation. All I'm saying, I'm just talking to people who are married. It's not God's will that you get a divorce. It's not God's will. Well, how come you're thinking that way? Because you stop believing that God's on your side for your marriage. You could believe the doctor's report, but that's not God's report physically for you. I mean, all these things that you're called to do, and you're going to stop. Because in the back of your mind, you've allowed people to convince you that really, that this is just too hard, too much. I don't have to take this anymore. Oh my goodness, get your joy back. Get a smile on your face. You know what? Just recognize, man, God's on my side. He's going to fulfill it. You know what? And even in this process, God's doing a work in me. He's creating maturity in me. He's creating, you know what, character in me. That's right. Amen. Psalms, oh, my goodness. Oh, do that next service. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. You guys know this. Watch this. This is Jesus talking. Don't forget what Jesus said. This is written to you. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Don't give up. And you know what this means? That literally, if you look to the Greek, you know what it says? It says ask and keep on asking. It says, you know what? Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Next verse, watch this. For everyone who asks receives. You see the adamant of this? You see the clarity in this? You've been deceived. You've allowed our enemy to talk you out to the promise. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks, it'll be open. You see the repetitive poetry that God is trying to get in your head. And last passage, Psalms chapter 103. You know this. Watch this. 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What's your soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your emotions, it goes, man, I just want to give up. I've had it. It's not going to work. This ain't working. Your will, not God's will, your will. That's your soul. Take your emotions, take your will, and here's what I want you to do. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Watch this. Oh, my soul, and all that is with you, everything, every part of you. Don't allow any part of you to think that God's against you. Bless his holy name. Next verse. Watch this. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and forget not how many of his benefits? Don't forget all of his benefits. Yeah, but I haven't seen it yet, but don't forget them. They're coming. Watch this. Next verse. Who forgives all your iniquities and heals some of your diseases, but there's some that the doctor you have. Well, where did you get that? Here's where you got that. You got that from someone, maybe even a Christian, who didn't know what the word promises. And Jesus says, don't forget. God says, don't forget all the benefits. Amen. Next verse. Who redeems your life from destruction. Amen. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tenderness, who redeems your life. Listen, your life has been redeemed. Don't unredeem what God has redeemed. Amen. How are you going to unredeem? You're going to let weariness come in. And it's going to come in, and when it comes in, it'll steal, it'll take your dreams, it'll depress you, it'll discourage you. It'll take advantage of you. You know what? And you don't have to do that. Let God be true and every man a liar. God has called you to do great things in the kingdom. God has called you to do great things on this earth. Amen. Did you get something out of that today? Amen. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, if something that was said ministered to you, if you want to repent in something in some way, maybe it was specifically you've just given up on a dream in a major way or a minor way, maybe it's even something minor, but you feel like the Holy Spirit has spoke to you anyway, major or minor, raise your hand and I want to pray with you. Today is your day. Right now is your moment. God, sear this in our spirits, where we've given up, where we have backed off, where we have actually stopped believing in you. We repent right now. Hands are up all over this room. We repent right now. We thank you, Father, that there is a renewed joy, a renewed optimism. I just sense, here's a word, I just sense there's a renewed optimism. Receive that optimism in your business, in your marriage, in your finances, in your health, in every area in your life. Receive that optimism right now. That's not just a word. That's from the Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.